WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. economy added 199,000 jobs in November. Economist Gus Fauché says it's just what the Fed's been hoping for.
Basically, the number of jobs being created each month is equal to the number of people who are entering the workforce. And that's a good long-run way for the economy to continue to grow.
An Iraqi-born American citizen is expected to appear in court in Albany, New York, to face federal charges after police say he shouted "Free Palestine" before firing two shots into the air outside a synagogue on the first night of Hanukkah. Mayor Kathy Sheehan.
No community is immune, and we take this very seriously.
With the war in Gaza entering its third month, the UN Security Council could vote today on a resolution calling for a ceasefire. Palestinian Ambassador Riyad Mansour says too many innocents are dying.
A large number of them, 70% of them, are women and children.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved. In
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Several reports say a deal is close between Republican lawmakers and the Universities of Wisconsin to approve UW employee pay raises and a new engineering building at the Madison campus. Sources say System President Jay Rothman is willing to reclassify as many as 60 diversity employees as student success workers, and no more diversity employees could be hired for 3 years. People in stores in Wisconsin should throw away some applesauce with cinnamon. There's a nationwide recall of several brands of cinnamon applesauce puree pouches because they might have dangerous levels of lead. As of Wednesday, the Food and Drug Administration had fielded 64 reports of kids younger than 6 potentially getting sick from recalled applesauce. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Altoona police are asking for the public's help following the fiery crash that occurred on Highway 53 on Thursday. According to a press release, two separate crashes occurred, the first causing the traffic jam around 12:30 Thursday afternoon, and another that occurred in the traffic near mile marker 89. Police are looking for information about the third car that was involved in the crash, which left the scene before law enforcement arrived. Occupants of the other cars were taken to a nearby hospital with unknown injuries. Wisconsin Assembly Democrats released a statement on Thursday accusing Wisconsin Republicans of trying to trade diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives at the Universities of Wisconsin for pay raises and construction projects. The statement comes the same week State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said a compromise to approve the pay raises was coming soon. Assembly Democrats argued that cutting DEI programs would have lasting negative effects on LGBTQ+ students and students of color. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Badgers volleyball on to the Elite Eight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team headed to the Elite Eight in the NCAA National Tournament. Wisconsin held off Penn State 3-1 in front of over 7,000 fans in a sold-out packed UW Fieldhouse in Madison. The Badgers will face off with Oregon tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Milwaukee Bucks came up short in Las Vegas, losing to the Pacers 128-119. Turnovers troubled the Bucks down the stretch. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
We have to be more organized. We have to know what we are trying to get down the stretch. And at the end of the day, like, down the stretch is about effort, man. It's about effort and attitude. Like, you have to go out there and take it. I feel like the Indiana team, that's what they did. They crashed the board, got offensive rebounds. You know, they got to their spots, played great defense. You know, got deflections. Like, at the end of the day, like, nothing's going to be given to you in life.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high of 50. Tonight, slight chance of rain, a low of 33. Some rain, maybe some snow mixed in for Saturday, highs around 37. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 22. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 31. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Right now, 38 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. UK.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Andy Williams. And we got some other things we want to talk about, but we're going to go back to the phone lines and thank you guys for waiting. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Andy Williams. And let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, good morning. And I'm from your age group. I've called in a couple of times, and I totally agree with you. Politics has become a blood sport, and we're really getting to the point that we don't listen to each other. We yell at each other, and I do agree. If Hunter Biden did this, then he should be held accountable, and so should Trump. I think that we have gotten away, our politicians have gotten away of remembering that they're not there for money and power. They are there to serve the people and the people's interests. And as far as racism, racism is as bad as it was in the 60s and the 70s when we were marching. It's just gone undercover. And I think people have to get away from this. They can't judge a person by the color of their skin or the ethnic where they come from. It is the character of the person. And once we agree to look at people that way, then we can resolve our differences. But I also believe that we have to go back into the schools, have CRT training. We have to look at what we did to this country, how we obtained our land, what we did to the indigenous people, what we did to people of color. And we have to then come to terms with that, and we have to move on. That's all I have to say.
Well, Susan, you said a mouthful, and you really did. And, you know, it needs to be repeated many times. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, the only thing I would respond to that about is the describing the training that we need, the education we need to have in our schools is CRT, critical race theory. And the only problem with that is we are adopting the language of the opponents to that by using that. Critical race theory was actually something taught in law schools, and it was designed to look at the laws that were enacted over time, like the Jim Crow laws, and to understand the fact that they were embedded in them racial motivations. What's being taught in school is just facts, okay? It's just the history of America taught factually and taught even-handedly.
And that's what we need to make sure we have. And I think that's all part of America getting back to, or at least going now towards, the truth. Okay, being fact-based, not ideologically based, not mending and bending the facts to match our ideology, but rather looking at the facts and reaching our judgments about the world based on an actual clear-cut factual inquiry.
Sandy, well said as well. Let's go to David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Oh, morning, Earl and Sandy. Yeah, I guess as you're just describing that, it's kind of that same old okey-doke of the divide and conquer. When you start looking at the, if you look all the way back in the ancient days of kings when America was conquered, and conquered being the ugly expression, the whole idea that people were trying to escape the tyranny of kings, and they brought that tyranny over to America. And so it's sad that people didn't have the courage to be able to fight the kings over there. And now we're kind of falling for the same scams. I don't know if you all are keeping up on the oil rights underneath Gaza, but apparently right. It's time to boycott Chevron. Apparently Chevron has the oil rights off the shore of Gaza, and I don't know if it's underneath, but
well, there's a pipeline. There's apparently a very important potential pipeline for oil that's being looked at to transport it and natural gas as well. And Gaza ends up being the locus of the pipeline, so that it looks like there are geopolitical factors that make Gaza more important.
And so they're pretending that this is a religious war when, in fact, it's an oil war. And pretending that, if God gave the Holy Land to Israel and Israel abandoned Gaza, 20 years ago, but all of a sudden they discover oil underneath Gaza, Israel wants the land back, and they're going to pretend that God gave it to them, even though they abandoned it and abandoned the people there. So it's just another oil war masquerading as a religious war.
Let me just correct you about Gaza. Gaza wasn't abandoned by Israel. Gaza was an Egyptian protectorate before the 67 events, and after that it came under the control of the Israelis. But Israel Gaza was not part of Israel that was abandoned by Israel, but that's neither here nor there with respect to the situation of the condition in Gaza.
As I'm concerned, it's always been an issue of taxation without representation. So in other words, the Palestinians are supposed to be a part of the democracy of Israel, but Israel doesn't want to provide normal services, libraries, schools, buses, clean water, sewage, the normal things that any city or county would develop. And so basically the phony religion of the Zionists have been basically denying taxation.
And without taking sides, particularly in the matter, just factually, the Palestinians in Gaza are not citizens of Israel at all. But there are almost 2 million Palestinians who reside in Israel. OK. And they have citizen rights, and their citizen rights are somewhat different than the citizen rights of Jewish Israelis. But just factually speaking, I just think we ought to make sure we stay within the rails of facts when we talk about this, because it probably makes some difference.
Isn't that the same old separate but equal that the South was trying to pull 50 years ago? That the Palestinians don't get equal rights, that they have... they have to use the other side of the bus. They have to use separate highways.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. Really, really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, I wanted to move to an issue about a woman named Kate Cox, who's 31 years old. She lives in Texas. She's 20 weeks pregnant. and her fetus has a lethal anomaly that is almost always fatal at birth. And so she wants to have an abortion, her and her husband. And in Texas has steadfastly said no abortions. And now this poor woman is 20 weeks pregnant, and it's just about guaranteed that she's going to have a stillbirth. She has a couple children.
Well, apparently the facts are that not only is she likely to have a stillbirth, but the going through with the process of having a stillbirth could endanger her fertility going forward,
right,
her reproductive capacity. And apparently the filings indicate that she is intent on having more children and that she is concerned that having to go forward with the birth of a stillborn will make that impossible. I think what's appalling is that a woman in that circumstance has to go to court on an emergency basis. She's 20 weeks pregnant, so that the abortion, should it happen, needs to happen promptly. And she's forced to go to court, bring all this forward to the public. This is obviously a very difficult decision, emotional situation for this woman. And yet the legislature in Texas and the environment today causes this woman to have to come forward and persuade a court that is not specialized in the medical practice. She apparently has a very unified view from the medical practitioners that this child is going to be stillborn, that an abortion is the appropriate remedy at this point, and yet we're in court.
844-967-2789. We're interested in your thoughts on this. You know, whether you're pro-abortion or not, how does it make sense that a state wants to force this woman to go through with this pregnancy based on what Sandy just said? The outcome is all but guaranteed that if she carries this baby through fruition, the baby's going to be stillborn. And yet people are arguing the point, well, you know, in Texas, there are no abortions. That's it. That's the point. We've made a decision. We're pro-life. And there are people arguing on the other side, we're pro-life, and this woman should not be able to have this abortion because it's not right. Well, again, it shouldn't be up to anybody, Sandy. But this woman and her husband, the doctors have already stated what is at stake here. Why is there an argument?
Well, like I said, you know, we've politicized something that is really a medical issue. And this is a very poignant episode demonstrating the problem associated with politicians getting into the middle of something which is a woman's medical condition.
You know, 844-967-2789. Really interested in your thoughts on this. Let us know. Don't touch that dial. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Love to hear your views on this. We'll be right back.
Some both ways. Tickets from one to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
now house. He needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number again. This really is you come down on one side or the other. This shouldn't even be a matter of coming down on one side or the other, Sandy. Right is right, wrong is wrong. What makes sense should be clearly the decision of the parents this situation.
Well, certainly, this is a glaring example of the problem associated with those who want to cause the state to intervene and make impossible decisions by women about something as personal as pregnancy, with all of the issues that are associated for a woman with pregnancy. And I've said before that when Roe v. Wade was overturned, that it was essentially the dog catching the car, and what would it do with the car? And politically speaking, it's clear that while it was easy for the conservatives and the evangelicals to pursue the concept of banning abortion, and that could be attractive politically, that the act of actually banning it and the effect of actually banning it would reawaken a whole bunch of people to the problems associated with the government making these kinds of choices on behalf of women in this most personal matter. This lawsuit is the most poignant example. This is the dog caught the car, and now we have a fact circumstance to look at that demonstrates to us just how problematic it is. Now, the district court judge in Texas decided to enjoin the law and to make it possible for this woman to have an abortion based on the facts presented to him. And now we have the state of Texas deciding they want to appeal from that. So we've got this poor woman in a very difficult situation personally, with an emergency circumstance that needs to be attended to
immediately.
And we've got the state of Texas deciding that they know better. Okay, to me, this is the poignant example of the dog caught the car, and it isn't a pretty thing.
Let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for the focus on this. And because of the emergency situation, my gut feeling is she should go to a state if she had the financial resources to have the abortion, and then when it's over, if she does have the the stamina to take the Texas legislature to court for the emotional trauma she and her loved ones are being put through, and also to keep the abortion issue on center stage.
You know, Mary, listen to this. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, responded Thursday afternoon, Sandy, in a letter addressed to three hospitals, Houston Methodist Hospital, the Women's Hospital of Texas in Houston, and Texas Children's Hospital in Houston, saying the temporary order would not insulate hospitals, doctors, or anyone else from civil and criminal liability for violating Texas abortion laws.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a clear threat trying to chill the opportunity of this woman to actually accomplish what the district court has allowed. I'm interested in what law – Mr. Paxson was relying on, because unless an appellate court suspended pending appeal the effectiveness of the district court's judge's decision, that district court's judge's decision is the law. Okay. And so, you know, maybe Paxson, I don't know what law school he went to, or maybe in fact, the appellate court in Texas has suspended the effectiveness of the order, but I haven't read that.
You know, Sandy, again, we created a situation, or Republicans created a situation that really, if they could do this all over, they would go back and have left Roe versus Wade alone. It's cost them seats all across.
Well, from a political standpoint, right, the best thing they had was an inability of the Supreme Court to append Roe v. Wade so they could talk about it.
Right.
So they could chase the bus, but not catch it. Yeah. Okay. But they got their way. Donald Trump actually gave them what they wanted, which was a Supreme Court that would overrule it. And we've seen two election cycles now where it's pretty apparent that Roe v. Wade's overturn has had a significant impact on the election results, because you know what? When the dog caught the car, it wasn't pretty. And this case right now is just emblematic of the problems that they've created.
Because this case is going to be multiplied. This woman is not the only person who winds up in the situation. Maybe not the exact same one.
Well, let me just put it this way. Every woman who knows about this case can project for herself whether
if that was
her,
right,
what would she think? Okay. And I'm thinking that this is a good example. I feel very sorry for this woman that Ms. Cox has to be the example and has to go through this, but I'm confident that this is a glaring neon sign to people that is demonstrating the problems associated with the dog catching the car with respect to the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and states then being so willful. I mean, this Attorney General Paxson, writing the hospitals, making sure that they understood that he would pursue them criminally if they followed the district court decision and actually gave this woman an abortion, is unbelievably willful and
political, right?
And political, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's really at the root of it, is he certainly gets an opportunity to get his name out there. This is clearly a national issue right now.
Yep.
His name is being mentioned. He, you know, maybe he can follow this up with a political, you know, seat. And that's probably what's at the root of it, Sandy. It's,
well, he's been a pretty controversial guy. He was up for being impeached, I believe. And I think that he won the impeachment hearing, but he came perilously close to being impeached by his. So he is a very political figure.
All right, 844-967-2789. Our phone lines are open. Got to take a short hiatus. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As many as 20 people in Wisconsin are sick with salmonella poisoning. That's according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. At least 359 cases are confirmed in the United States and Canada. Three people have died. The outbreak is tied to cantaloupe. Young teachers say they hope a lawsuit to overturn Act 10 collective bargaining restrictions in Wisconsin will lead to better pay and more teachers. Maddie Topf is a grad student and teaching assistant at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
We have people who have to live with many roommates or don't have enough money to get groceries.
Police and firefighter unions get to collectively bargain in Wisconsin, but not most other public employees. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Chippewa Falls is now the new home for a relocated bridal store. According to a WQOW report, the bridal store Off the Rack held a ribbon cutting in downtown Chippewa Falls on Wednesday after moving from its previous location off North Claremont Avenue in Eau Claire. The store offers about 2,000 dress selections, including bridal, prom, and menswear. The new store is located on North Bridge Street in Chippewa Falls, and the location used to be a different bridal shop called 4 and 5 Bridal. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is advising residents on how to avoid food waste during the holiday season. According to a DNR official, many households on average will throw out about a third of the groceries they buy, wasting about $1,800 worth of food. The Department of Natural Resources advises that you should shop with a plan after making a detailed grocery list and checking what you already have, and properly storing food to extend the shelf life of any leftover meals. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Badgers volleyball on to the Elite Eight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team headed to the Elite Eight in the NCAA National Tournament. Wisconsin held off Penn State 3-1 in front of over 7,000 fans in a sold-out packed UW Fieldhouse in Madison. The Badgers will face off with Oregon tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Milwaukee Bucks came up short in Las Vegas, losing to the Pacers 128-119. Turnovers troubled the Bucks down the stretch. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
We have to be more organized. We have to know what we are trying to get down the stretch. And at the end of the day, like, down the stretch is about effort, man. It's about effort and attitude. Like, you have to go out there and take it. I feel like the Indiana team, that's what they did. They crashed the board, they got offensive rebounds. You know, they got to their spots, played great defense. You know, got deflections. Like, at the end of the day, like, nothing's going to be given to you in life.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high of 50. Tonight, slight chance of rain, a low of 33. Some rain, maybe some snow mixed in for Saturday, highs around 37. Saturday night, partly cloudy, 22. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 31. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Currently, 42 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Gene from Eau Claire. I think you wanted to weigh in on this case, particular case in Texas, about the woman who's has to fight in order to have this abortion. You say what?
I say that's really dangerous, and I say it's pathetic, and I say every woman needs to get out and vote out those people with an R after their name, because it's happening in our state where they already said that the abortion law wasn't about abortion. And it boggles my mind, because this Paxton guy, I watched his hearing, you know, that they had in the Senate, because they had voted to impeach him, and they brought up all his crimes. This guy's bad news. I don't even know he's there, but they have a Senate, and like they have in the state of Wisconsin, they're working against the people. They're working against women, and women now of childbearing age. It happened during my lifetime. If you could get, you know, if you were able to get pregnant, they wouldn't hire you. So I made god darn sure when I had my interviews, well, you don't have to worry, you know, because of I had a hysterectomy at a young age. So I was employed. But there were a lot of times before that, that because of my age and childbearing years and them having to buy insurance and the whole bit, hurts women big time. And that, and there's no protections for that, because they can do it kind of quietly. And it's bad news, guys. I'm speechless for once, and I'm just sick, and I feel very bad for that woman. I hope the devil that she gets good lawyers. I hope people raise money for her and help this woman. She needs help. It's a horrifying thing. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
Hey,
bye.
Hey, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for chiming in. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, like I said, you know, I think that women in particular, but anybody, men and women watching this, ought to understand that the circumstance that this government regulation, and incidentally, this is a government intrusion into personal life decisions, which is like totally contradictory to normal conservative political thought. Normal political conservative thought is to limit government intrusion into personal lives. And so it's astonishing, actually, that it's been conservative politics that has created this particular circumstance.
Let's do this, Sandy. Here's a story that I think many of you are not aware of, because I surely was not aware of it until I was perusing different stories for this morning. And here's one. The U.S. could be heading towards involvement in another global conflict as tensions between Venezuela and neighboring Guyana skyrocketed following a controversial referendum that sparked fears of a land grab in South America. Wait, let me see. So, as an American citizen, am I concerned about a land grab by Venezuela in South America? Enough that our military would somehow wind up being involved. The U.S. military said on Thursday that its Southern Command forces would carry out flight operations with Guyana later in a day, and that Washington would continue its commitment as Guyana's trusted security partner. What? I didn't know that Washington, United States government, was a security partner of Guyana's. Did you?
No, I think that to the extent we have a security partnership, it's undoubtedly related to the oil reserves, which they've just discovered offshore, in particular this Essequibo region, which is apparently has been a controversial region from the standpoint of Venezuela making claim to it. Now it's become valuable because of the discovered it's a jungle region, and on the jungle region apparently there is oil, there's gold and silver and valuable minerals, but offshore now they've discovered substantial oil reserves. And I believe we have U.S. oil companies who have been in pursuit of licenses to exploit those reserves, which apparently gives the U.S. a strong interest. I mean, the fact is our history in the banana republics in our history in the southern hemisphere of the Americas has almost always related to corporate interests. And again, it looks like it's probably corporate interests in Guyana that bring us into this position. Now, there is hope that Maduro, the head of Venezuela, is only doing this on the eve of an election to try and make him more of a nationalist champion so that he will get elected and that he won't actually carry forth on the idea of a military invasion of the neighbor.
Well, here's where 844-967-2789. Here's where I have a problem with it, Sandy, even with those things you just said. To have our military, the financial resources that we continue to put into the military, to go and defend oil fields that don't benefit the American people is where I do have a problem with it.
Well, I think that this is an example of how it is that both the American people need to get more literate about world affairs, and then the foreign affairs and the foreign policies of the United States have to be premised on an open discussion and an open analysis of what is critical to the American interest and where it is we ought to be investing our money and dollars, because we end up finding out, like I've always said, our foreign policy is determined in dark rooms, and we end up reading in the paper what it is that we as patriotic Americans need to believe about where we ought to be deploying troops. You know, and so, you know, should we be deploying troops to Guyana? Well, most of us
don't even know.
Couldn't even identify where Guyana is. And to be honest with you, I'd have a little trouble pointing it out in the South American map. I knew that it was in South America, but I didn't know that it was an immediate neighbor of Venezuela.
Well, so Venezuela says the 1966 Geneva Agreement effectively undid the 1899 ruling by international arbiters. This is how far back this stuff goes. And Sandy, it wouldn't be an issue if they hadn't discovered the minerals, right?
Right. I mean, this is proof that ultimately natural resources seem to dictate a great deal of what goes on in the world in terms of foreign affairs and where it is that nations want to put down their stake and make claim. And the United States has to figure out where it is that we have a critical interest and where, because we can't take on the responsibility of a United Nations and be the policeman for the world. That was kind of the Pax Americana principle of the 1990s. And I think we've proven to ourselves that we don't have the capacity to do that. The American people don't want to be taxed to the extent they would need to be taxed in order to carry that out.
Well, the great thing is, had it not been for Newsweek and other articles like that, we wouldn't have known. Right? They're not talking about this on the evening news. Following the vote, the president, Farian Ali, denounced a direct threat to Guyana's territorial integrity, sovereignty, and political independence. Ali said Georgetown would intensify precautionary measures to safeguard its territory, adding that he had spoken with the United Nations global leaders and reached out to the U.S. military. Okay. So why reach out to the U.S. military? There are other militaries in the United Nations. But why would we? Well, you already said it. There's corporations.
I'm confident that there are U.S. Oil businesses, petrol businesses, who have an interest in exploiting the oil that has been discovered in the Guyana area.
You know, Sandy, I don't know if it's so much because we are now the number one producer of oil in the world that maybe now, you know, there was a time that we did not hold that mantle, but now we produce more oil.
Well, in fact, that was something I was hoping we would talk about on the air, because we've had callers come call in regularly about how it is that Joe Biden has screwed up the oil industry for the United States and made it and caused oil prices to go up. And the fact is that we're producing oil in the United States now at a record rate. I think it's 13 million barrels a day, and that we're the biggest oil producer in the world. that we single-handedly have driven the price of oil down in spite of the OPEC cartel's effort to restrain production
right.
and to drive the price up. And we are at the very maximum of our refining capacity with respect to the capacity of the United States, the ability of the United States to take the oil we produce and refine it. So, you know, that puts to rest the concept that and Donald Trump's promise to allow drilling on day one in all kinds of places as some kind of a panacea or something that would have a near-term result in the economy is just absolutely fallacious. We are producing oil at a maximum rate. One of the reasons we are is that the oil producers of America realize that there is a sunset on the demand for oil out there in the future as electric cars begin to replace gasoline cars, and that the demand for oil will go down in the future, and that the price, the relative price of oil in the world will go down, and that they're exploiting the resources they have at a rapid clip today because they're harvesting, okay? They're harvesting their oil today because they understand that it might not be as valuable tomorrow. So there's all this nonsense about opening up drilling so that there'll be a massive amounts of new oil discovered is contrary to what the investors in the oil industry will want to do, because they will not want to pursue substantial drilling everywhere in order to create excess capacity.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Morning, John. I'm going to push back a little bit on what Sandy just said. Number one, the reason why we're producing a record amount of oil, it's nothing to do with Joe Biden's policy. It all has to do with the fact that it's private land owners, along with the state of Texas and the state of New Mexico, the Democratic governor.
Well, David, wait, I'm just going to talk over you for a minute. I didn't say it had anything to do with Joe Biden's policies. I said that opening up new drilling wasn't going to solve the problem, because what's happening now is the marketplace and the owners of oil reserves are deciding to harvest those oil reserves today because of their prediction of what will happen to the price of oil tomorrow. So it's the marketplace that's making these choices. It always has been, regardless of who's in power. And that's what I'm saying.
Sandy, let me just say this. If you've been watching the meetings in the Middle East, there's no question. Everyone says there's going to be a reduction in fossil fuels. That is not happening. We know it's not happening because they are producing. If you look at the amount of coal that China is using and India, it's going up exponentially, number one. Number two, if you look at the amount of, first of all, ExxonMobil, you were talking about the country next to Venezuela, Ghana. They have a tremendous amount of oil. They are becoming very wealthy very quickly, and that's why the president of Venezuela wants to take it over, because if you remember, he literally took over all the private oil fields in Venezuela and took that away from Exxon.
They should have belonged to Venezuela in the first place.
Well, I mean, you know, that's...
No, they had a separate entity in the state and the country of Venezuela has really...
David, hold the thought. David, hold the thought. David, hold the thought. We'll bring you back on the other side. 844-967-2789. Join the conversation.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Taption and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw W.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars when we have learned what Christmas is for. When we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. My co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go back to Dave from Mac 1. Dave, you were saying.
Yes, thank you. Really quickly, you know, the president of Venezuela, if you remember, he really took over every private oil well within the country of Venezuela. And today, Venezuela, even though they have a tremendous amount of oil, they almost produce next to nothing. Because they have nobody on the government level that understands how to get the oil out of the ground. So in order to, help out is now they're making this claim that, you know, with the country next to them that, oh, you know what, we need to take that over. And the reason being because there is a tremendous amount of oil and they'll probably make the same mistake again and take over all the private entities that are in that country, and they won't know how to run it, and there goes that. So my bigger point is this. China and India and the Middle East, and I've been looking at these conferences, they're investing in carbon capture. If you look at the state of Iowa, they're literally taking tens of thousands of acres, running these pipelines, doing eminent domain through the federal government, because it's for the greater good, supposedly. We're literally going to be burying the CO2 in the ground. And Saudi Arabia is banking on that. And they even mentioned it, that the amount of fossil fuels, if you look, cars use very, very little oil. It's a very small percentage. If you really look at where the oil is, it's in our technology. It's in asphalt. It's in, you know, carpeting. Oil is used in almost everything that you think of. I mean, it's a very diverse product, and we are always going to be using oil to make these products and everything else.
Yeah, but David, not to the degree of using it for transportation and those kind of things. Sandy, you want to?
Well, you know, I just think the notion that nationalizing a nation's oil reserves is something that we ought to be directly involved with is probably nonsense. I think, you know, that we learned that lesson back in Iran in 1953. The whole reason that we upset the Mossadegh regime was he was going to nationalize the oil reserves of Iran, much the way the oil reserves of Saudi Arabia, Norway, and other countries are nationalized.
And the way Muammar Gaddafi did in Libya.
Yes, Venezuela has not been exercised good aptitude or competence with respect to exploiting. They have the largest oil reserves in the world, and they're obviously not thriving. And whether they should deploy a different strategy for exploiting that is an open question. But I think that, you know, if we could do it over again, I think the people of America would probably be happy if we had taken our oil reserves and continued to own them in a sovereign fund the way Norway has. Norway has very successfully exploited their oil reserves, and every citizen of Norway has a net worth of at least $275,000 because of their interest in the sovereign fund, which is owned by all the Norwegians. And so, you know, I just think we shouldn't necessarily fall back on the way America has done it as being the way the world should do it, because we've sold our oil reserves to private interests for pennies on the dollar, and they have exploited them to great profit without actually the United States realizing very much in value from it, other than the taxes they can and they've also given a very beneficial tax treatment to those who exploit oil with the depletion allowance. And so all I can say is that our example of how we've built our oil and gas business in America is not necessarily one that we should recreate if we did had it to do over again, or that other countries should emulate.
You know, not to mention, Sandy, the damage to human capital with refineries and what that has wrought.
Well,
and yet not willing to even, you know, compensate those people who have been damaged through the process.
Well, I mean, that's a different issue, but I simply suggest that we shouldn't fall back smugly on the notion that that if they aren't, if the American oil interests are not being satisfied in the various countries in which they try to exercise license rights, that they should receive military support in defense of their position, because you know, other countries we respect have nationalized major industries. We nationalized essentially all of our industries during World War II. Britain had nationalized its steel industry just months before they pulled the plug on Mossadegh in 1953, and his sin was nationalizing the oil industry and essentially neutralizing the value of the licenses they had given to the British Petroleum Company.
You know what, Sandy, what it gives pause to is that the more we get involved in those endeavors, the more we keep saying we need more money for the military machine and to continue to feed the military machine, because we're off gallivanting in other areas doing those kinds of things, which we don't really need to be involved in.
Yes, I mean, our history in South America and Chile with Pinochet and Allende, and our experience in Guatemala and in El Salvador and in a variety of countries going all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt and before, is really kind of a sordid history of America exercising its military might in support of corporate interests in various countries.
I guess that's it. We've run the gambit, Sandy.
Well, we go from gunnel to gunnel in terms of subjects.
Well, I tell you, they've all been great. It's always great to have you on. Men, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yep.
Everybody else, enjoy your time. Thank you, Calvin, as always. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.